Good morning. I think that song would have definitely woken us all up. I hope you're waking up well and you're in the right place in the presence of the Lord. It's good to see you all. And I can see a few new faces, and that's always very encouraging. So you're all very, very welcome, new and old, young and old as well. Whoever you are, wherever you are, we do welcome you. And we also note some people do watch online, so you're all very welcome as well. God bless you, wherever and whatever day of the week you watch this service. My name is Kuna. What do I do in this church? I lead worship. I'm a deacon. I'm in charge of Sunday school. I meet a lot of people for teas and coffees. I love that bit. It's one of the most fun bits. But we do welcome you. So let us just say a prayer as we get into the presence of the Lord. Mighty God, we thank you that you are here before we even went to bed last night. You already had a plan and a purpose for today's service. And we just want to submit that into your hands right now. And I pray for every person who is coming in through these doors, who's watching this at whatever time they like. Mighty God, I just pray that you touch them, that you bless them, that you speak to them, and that you lead them, guide them through the trials of life. And Lord, we just now open up our hearts to hear from you, that when Brian comes to speak to us, Lord God, it will give us rest, it will give us peace in our lives. And in all that we do, Almighty God, I pray that today we will lift up the name of Jesus on high and declare your majesty. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Right, so I've chosen a series of songs, and hopefully they all sort of come together a little bit. And I hope you do enjoy singing them with me today. So if you're able to stand and sing, we're going to praise the Lord a little bit. We're going to glorify and declare that, you know, Jesus is the majestic one that we serve and we acknowledge this morning. That's the first song. It's called Majesty. And we're going to worship his majesty. We're going to stop thinking about every other thing. Stop thinking about shopping lists or bank holiday, what are we going to do with the kids tomorrow? We're going to stop thinking about all our problems, our trials and tribulations. We're going to focus on the name above every other name and declare the majesty of Jesus. He's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. And the second song just says that salvation belongs to our God, that the praise and the honor, the glory, the power, the dominion, everything else that song doesn't even say, all of it belongs to God. Your salvation, my salvation, the thing that's going to get you out of trouble, the thing that's going to save you out of whatever difficulties you're going to have, the thing that's going to bring the sunshine in the rain, the thing that's going to calm the storm, that belongs to Jesus. The salvation of your soul, the salvation of your body, the strength that you need comes from the Lord. So let us sing these two songs, acknowledging and appreciating that. Okay. Jesus who died.
Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
Salvation belongs. Take your seats. Such a beautiful moment, a beautiful day to be in the presence of the Lord today. And I was asking the Lord what I should share with you guys this morning. And the Lord has been speaking to me, and there's things that He's been saying to me that have really made me feel very puffed up, very, very happy, very proud. To be a child of God, and I just wanted to share with you a certain aspect of it. So we're looking at Ephesians chapter 2, and it's verse 10, and now I call myself an artist. I call myself an artist. It took me a long time to get to a place where I could say what I do is art, and I knit, and some people think, you know, yeah, blankets and little hats, and I know there are a lot of knitters in this room as well, because we share patterns and we share ideas and things like that. But it took me a while to be able to call that art, and it was only when I started to see people's reactions and what people think about the things that I make, and they think they are amazing. But we do have an even greater artist, and God pointed me to me to this verse, and it really made me feel very, very good about myself and about some of the things that I do, because I'm very proud of my art. And God said to me that He was very proud of me, because we are God's handiwork. It says in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And that just blew my mind, because if God has already prepared the things that I'm doing now, you know, I'm quite safe. I feel really, really happy, because He's already prepared the things that I have to do. All I have to do is stay in Christ Jesus. I just have to stay on the path God had set me to do. And all of the handiwork, the thing that he can look at, and God says when he looks at me, I am a great artist because he looks at me. He looks at me and he thinks, yes, her hair is just right. Everything is perfect about her. She is my handiwork. And God looks at me and says, I'm a great artist because of me. And that just humbles me. And it really makes me feel very safe, very secure in the presence of the Lord. And it makes me feel very brave to go out there and face the world knowing I am God's handiwork. I am his creation. And if I stay in Christ Jesus to do good works, God is already accomplished it. He's prepared the things in advance for me to do. The Bible says, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So the work that I do, he's already prepared it, perfected it, made it perfect. All I have to do is stay in the path with Jesus Christ to do those good works. It's already done. It's so easy. It's so easy with the Lord because he's already prepared what he wants you to do, the good works he wants you to. He's already prepared it for you. All you have to do is fall in line with him. And it just makes me feel so, so happy to know how much God loves me, that he wanted to take away the stress and the headache of thinking about it. I don't have to overthink things because he's called me in to, as his handiwork, to do good stuff. And he's already shown me what good stuff he's prepared it. He's planned what the good stuff is. So I don't have to stress about that. And it just really, really made me feel very happy. And I just wanted to share that with you guys. Now we are going to do something very, very important in this church, a very big tradition that we have, and ask if anybody has had a birthday in the week that's gone by or the week that is to come. I know Sula's had a birthday. Are there quite a few birthdays that you know? Who's got a birthday at the top? Sula. Sula is at the top, and she's had a birthday. I don't know whether I'm allowed to say how old she is, but 17. Again, right, 17. Ah, hello, you've got a birthday, and have you got a birthday? Ah, excellent. I hope you've all had a really wonderful time, and God has celebrated with you. Have any of the children, any of the younger people had a birthday? No? Okay, so we're going to sing happy birthday. And we're going to sing it to Sula. It's Anne, isn't it? It's Anne, isn't it? Yes. Josie. We're going to sing happy birthday to Sula and to Josie.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Wonderful. So the notices I have today are that Anna and Nathan would like to thank everyone for whatever and everything you did yesterday to celebrate their wedding blessing. And it was lovely to have Chris and Anne Hughes come and celebrate that with us. I know there were some people that couldn't come because of health reasons and other things, but we did miss you. But you do have a chance to come back on Tuesday, because Tuesday is the real big wedding. Now, this is the one where they are actually bride and groom for the day and become Mr. and Mrs. at the end of it all. So really, really lovely. And for the kids that were a little bit confused about all of these things, Tuesday is the day she's wearing white. That's the day, okay? Tuesday she wears white, walks down the aisle, and does all of that bit. Because I know we've had some parents coming to me and telling me that my child hasn't seen a wedding. When is the next wedding? Tuesday. And Anna tells me 12 o'clock prompt. Be here for 12 because she's going to be walking down this aisle at 12. She's not going to do that lovely thing of the bride being late. She's not doing that. So please do come. If anybody wants to know how they can help, we'll be having teas and coffees and cake after. You're always very welcome to come and wash a few, you know, cups and plates after. Serving teas and coffees would always be very, very welcome if you're able to help, because they're going to be setting up probably on Monday, and they can't tell the time when they're setting up. So we can't help with the setting up, but we can certainly help make it a joyful day for them by doing all the work that's needed afterwards. Okay, now I did announce a couple of weeks ago that George Mayette had unfortunately passed away. Just to let you all know that the funeral will be on 4th of September at 1 p.m. at Bobbing Crematorium. So anybody that wants to go and support the family, please do that. That will be on the 4th of September at 1 p.m. at Bobbing. Now, introducing the next song. On the front page news is all about Holiday Club in the magazine. I hope you've all managed to snab a copy. If you haven't, please let us know and we'll print out some more. We've just had Holiday Club, so it's a really weird week for me because there's some people here that I've seen through the whole week, Monday to Friday. And then I saw them at the wedding blessing yesterday, and now I don't even know what day of the week it is anymore. Like, I normally see you on Sunday, and I'm seeing you so many times. But we've had Holiday Club, and the dates for next year have already been published. For those that want to put it early in their diaries, please do so. On the busiest day, we had 27 children come, and 12 of them were under 5. So that was amazing. The adults, of course, had a wonderful time, as they always do, and so did the children. So we're going to just give you a flavor of what Holiday Club was like and the sort of songs that we were singing, and we're going to do one of our favorite songs. But I am going to introduce it with a Bible verse, because, well, it's church. So in Matthew chapter 5, I think it's going to come up, but if it doesn't, I'm ready. I've got my Bible here. The Bible says that in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You know the good deeds we were talking about God wanting you to do? That's what's going to tell people the type of person that you are. And God wants you to shine. And all the kids will know which song I've chosen from Holiday Club to do. And I'm going to ask my, any kids want to come and do the actions? They usually get very, come on then, come on girls. Arana, I can see your hand is up and you're going to drag your sister Fifi with you. Danny, you're going to come? Daniela's going to come? Yes, we've got a unicorn as well. What more do you want? Yes, okay, come on up on the stage. Come up on the stage, okay? And a couple of you go that side so that we can all see you. Okay, now, Oliver, can't resist, he can't resist.
Tristan's here.
Tristan, hello. Lovely. Excellent. Right, now, it's going to be very difficult for the guys who have to hide all the kids' faces, but yeah, they will do that. So we're going to do Shine, please. DJ, hit it. You can all stand up and take part. The words will come up, and it's very easy action. Okay, let's go.
Shine from inside out, that the world will see you live in. Shine from the inside out, that the world will see you live in me. You know me, and you love me, so fill me, so send me to shine from the inside out, that the world will see you live. Send me, know me, love me, feel me, send me. Shine from the inside out, that the world will see you live in me. Shine from the inside out, that the world will see you live in me. You know me, and you love me. Send me, know me, love me, feel me, send me.
well done, Oliver. Excellent. Thank you, guys. Off you go and sit down. Right. So that's what we do during Holiday Club. We have fun. We sing and dance, but not before you've had a cup of tea. And it gets very, very exciting. And all the adults really, really love it. And the children seem to have a good time as well. So we're going to this afternoon's service, the youth service at 3:30, is going to be all about holiday clubs. And it's going to be run like a holiday club. So for people that normally come to a very calm, very relaxed youth service, it's not going to be like that at all. It's going to be singing and dancing like that. And then it's going to be crafts, puppets. It's going to be puppets. It's if you want to get a more of a flavor of holiday club, this afternoon, 3:30, Daniela will be leading the service, and I'll be out there jumping about with the rest of them. So, yeah, do come if you can come to that. We're just going to say a quick prayer and let the children go off to their groups. Lord, we thank you for the children, and we thank you for holiday and holiday club. We thank you for keeping everyone safe, because we haven't heard any bad news about anybody getting hurt or injured during holiday club. Nobody has got stuck in one country or anything else like that, Lord. You have been so good in watching over us and keeping us safe. And we pray, oh Lord God, for all the young people that are in this church today, that, Lord, they will get something good from you, that you would teach them yourself, and you would put in their hearts that desire to do good works, that desire to bring peace into this world, and that desire to be the solution, that they would leave from here ready to shine from the inside out, that the world will see that you and your Holy Spirit live in them. And mighty God, I pray that you would make them brave and you would help them in every situation in life. In Jesus' name we pray. Or, as we do it in Holiday Club, we go, Amen! Thank you. All right, children, off you go, please, to your groups. Lovely. Holiday Club. We're just going to say our own prayers now. And I would like you all to just think about the things that worry you, the things that might even keep you up at night. Just think about those things that really trouble your mind, that bring disharmony to your everyday. All the concerns about kids, about what they will do in the future, how they are behaving now, where they're spending their time, how we will get them into church, how we will keep them in church, how we will give them the love of God. Anything that's worrying you about your physical body, any ailments, any pains, any healing that you need, you're in the right place for it. You're in the right place for it, because Jesus died on the cross for such a thing as what is bothering you. Maybe you don't have enough resources. Maybe you don't have enough money. You don't have enough food. You might not even have enough friends or people around you that understand you, people that know what you're going through, or that can give you the answer. You're in the right place to get an answer today, because Jesus died for such a thing as this. He died to give you peace in your heart, peace in your body, peace in your mind. He died to give you life abundantly, full of glory, overflowing. He died to make your cup overflow and set a table before you in the presence of your enemies. The enemies might not go away, but in the presence of them, you will rejoice. In the presence of your enemies, in the midst of that storm, you will find a calm corner, because Jesus is with you. He is your good shepherd. He loves you. You are his artwork. You are his handiwork. He is still fixing you. It might not all feel like it's all in place yet. That's okay. He's still at work. You might not see it, you might not feel it, you might not hear it, you might not even understand it. It doesn't matter. God loves you enough to still be on the job. And above all else, He wants you to have peace with your relationships. He wants you to have peace at work, peace at home. He wants you to have peace with all the things you want to avoid. He wants you to have peace with them. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for the peace that you bring through Jesus Christ. Thank you for your Holy Spirit of peace that descends on us at any time, not even just on a Sunday, any time of the day or night when we call on you, Lord. You hear us. Whatever thing is bothering us, even bashing our foot on a rock or anything, that concerns you because it concerns us. Whatever hurts us hurts you, Lord. And we thank you that you love us enough to bring that peace into our lives. So whatever thing we're thinking of now, whatever problem we are facing now, Lord, we just ask that you bring your peace. Bring your peace, oh God. And let there be joy. Joy like a mountain. Joy that other people can see. They might not understand it. We might not understand it. But let your joy come into our lives. Let your joy be part of our daily experience of your presence. Oh, Lord God, let that joy come. Let your love come into our lives, Lord. Holy Spirit, come and take absolute control. Speak to us in a way that we will understand you. We're just going to sing that song softly. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and take control. Let your fire fall in this place, Lord. One more time. Just think of those areas you need the peace of God to go into. Let your fire fall, oh Lord. Let your fire fall and burn those fires away.
Peace like a river.
Peace in every area. Peace in every venue of your life. Every corner that you're hiding. Any dark places. Let the peace of God come into those places. Let the wind blow away any problems. Blow away any issues. Blow away any unsettled areas of your life. Let your joy come, Lord. Joy like a fountain bubbling up on the inside of you. You can't hide it. You can't stop it. It brings that healing into every area of your life. Healing at work, healing in your body, healing with relationship. Receive it now. Let your fire. Let your fire fall on us, Lord. Let your power come and do what only you can do, Lord. Come into every corner, Lord. And thank you for bringing us the word that will help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are in this place this morning. That you are with us. That your Holy Spirit abides in us. And you are the same God today as the same God in the very beginning, when you created all things. Lord, we pray that this morning that you would open up your word to us, that we would enlarge our understanding, that our knowledge of you and your will go deeper inside of us this morning. Expand our knowledge, Lord. Expand our appreciation and our love for your word, because your word abides forever. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we come to the last in the sermon series. It's time to rest. And the question before us this morning is, should Christians observe the Sabbath day? Should Christians today observe the Sabbath? Now, I won't ask for a show of hands, but I just wonder if you've already got your mind made up, whether you think that, well, the Sabbath is part of the Old Testament law, it's not something that we really need to be aware of, or you might think as, well, maybe it is something that we should take care of, or maybe it's something we should observe, or maybe you're not sure. I hope that this morning, as we go through this passage from Matthew chapter 12, that you will get something from it, whatever your mind is at the moment on this particular question. So what is the Sabbath? Incidentally, if you do have your Bibles, please open to Matthew 12. I remember, whether it be digital or physical, but the Bible verses will come up behind me. I remember it didn't seem that long ago, where you'd say, open up your Bibles, and then the whole congregation would fiddle and rustle. And do you know what? I missed the days when we used to come to the church carrying this in our hands. So even people out in the street, when on a Sunday morning, well, any other time, but on Sunday morning in particular, if they saw someone walking up the road like this, that person's going to church, that person's a Christian. And it may be the only time, the only thought, the only thing that they get to see of Jesus, of God. Is that representation of God's word making its way up the streets towards the church. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 12. But before we start reading those verses, so what is the Sabbath? Well, first of all, it's the seventh day of the week. So factually, the Sabbath is a Saturday, not a Sunday. It's always has been the Saturday, the Sabbath, and always will be. In Hebrew, the Sabbath literally means, literally, that's an overused word today, isn't it? So Sabbath actually means rest. It means to rest. But it has a deeper meaning and significance, and we'll come on to that in a bit later. It is the last day of the week, Sunday, the Sabbath is the last day of the week. Sunday, the first day of the week, that's the day that Christians set aside. But they set it aside because, I don't know if you know, but the Sunday is also known as the Lord's Day. You might not know that. You may have heard it. It's only mentioned once in the Bible, right at the end. But we call it the Lord's Day because Jesus rose again from the dead on that day. This is the day that Christians have set aside. So we're going to look at, before we get into the meat and potatoes, let's stop and we'll read Matthew chapter 12. And the passages that I've been given is from verse 1 to 14. And when I read it, I thought, do you know what? It's very difficult not to go light on these verses. We're going to have to dig in a bit deeper into the word this morning. There's a lot here to unpack, so let's get started. Matthew 12, verse 1 says this. At the time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look at your disciples, what they're doing. This is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. But he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those that were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you, in this place, there is one greater than the temple. If you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord, even on the Sabbath. And then verse 9 goes on to say, now when he departed from there, he went on into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, so the Pharisees asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him? Then he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into the pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Or how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might destroy him. And so reads the word of the Lord. So when you want to look out something that is constant through the Bible, and you want to find out the meaning of it, whether it be a word or a teaching, there's a principle that's been around for a while, and it means that if you look up the first time that it's mentioned, and the principle was called first mention, it will often either give you the definition of the word, this obviously relies on you having a good Bible translation, but it will give you either what the word means, or the context of it will describe what it is. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read out two verses of the first time that Sabbath is mentioned in the Bible, and we're going to see if that tells us what, from God's perspective, what Sabbath actually means. And I'm taking this from Exodus chapter 16. It's only two verses, 22 and 23. And it says this, and so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord said, tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourself all that remains to be kept until the morning. So we see that in verse 23 that the Sabbath is a day of rest. It is also a holy day set aside to the Lord. And it is a day in which we should do no work. So that's what the first time we come across this in the Bible, this is what Sabbath means. It's a day of rest. It's a day to honor the Lord. And it is a day in which we should do no work. So I don't know if you remember that when in this passage, when we read it in Matthew 12, that the Pharisees were following the disciples through the field. And the disciples were hungry, so they were picking corn to eat to satisfy their hunger. But the Pharisees, these were religious rulers, one of the religious ruling group of Jesus' day, they weren't following Jesus around because they were fans. They didn't follow him around because they loved his preaching. They were following him around and his disciples to check, to make sure that what they were saying was in agreement with their traditions. Okay? That's why they were following them around. And they made this accusation towards the disciples, saying that what they were doing was not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. Now, even if you were there, or let's say a bystander was at that place, who are you likely to believe? Are you likely to believe the religious leader who was dressed in robes? Likely. Much like to some of today's denominations where man is dressed in, or woman is dressed in a robe, pointy hat sometimes. They look official. They're the ones that are in charge. That's their job. They know what they're talking about. So if you're if you were a bystander, would you not more likely agree with what the Pharisees were saying about the disciples? That, you know, what they were doing was not lawful. And the reason that I point that out is that today, in our society now, we're in the middle of a culture war, are we not? And I'll just name two examples of that. One is... It's ever pervasive. It's all the discussion around climate change. So the question you might have in your mind is, well, climate change, is it real or not? How do you know? Is it man-made or is it not? How do you know? Is there an unnatural increase in temperature against history? How do you know? Is there an overproduction of CO2 that causes all these issues? How do you know? Well, I did my own digging into this. And all I'll say just before, just for, keep our time short, is that the amount of CO2 that's in the atmosphere currently is less than 0.04%. And I remember back from school, I know it was a long time ago, but I was taught that trees take in CO2 and they give out oxygen. Right? This is part of God's creation, his biosystem. It takes in all the stuff that's not good for us, the vegetation, the trees, and it gives out oxygen, something that's good for us and necessary for life. Another thing that is part of our culture war at the moment is about gender. How many genders there are? From the beginning of time until the last few decades, it wasn't an issue. We already knew how many genders there were. We knew what we were dealing with, but it's a confusing issue today in our culture, in the Western world. So you would not know unless you dug for yourself to find out the truth. Unfortunately, as Christians, we have the Holy Scriptures. And as Christians, we believe that the Scriptures are true, they are preserved, they are God's words. And we treat them with such holiness and reverence is because they are not man's words. Man may have written them, but they are God's words. And so when we read something in the Bible, that's good enough for us. So in many cases, we can go to the scripture so we can find out the truth of something, even include in the midst of some of the things that I've mentioned now, about the things that were involved in the culture war in our society today. So Jesus comes back to the Pharisees. Now, he could have gone straight back and answered with a verse from Deuteronomy, the exact thing that they're accusing the disciples of doing as being unlawful, but he didn't. He used two obscure references about King David, how he, when his men were hungry, they were out and they were hungry, and David himself went into the temple and he said to the priest, have you got anything that we may eat? Have you got any bread? We need 5 loaves of bread. And the only bread that they had there was the showbread. This was part of the bread that's on the altar with the wine. And it's unlawful for anyone apart from the priest to eat that bread. And the priest said that. But the priest said, well, as long as your men have kept themselves clean, then you may have this bread. And David said, my men have definitely kept themselves clean, they're holy, and that he took the bread. The reason that Jesus used this is to show, I don't know if you know about law, I don't, but I see stuff on telly, right? And I hear it in the news, that legal people often look for a precedent, a decision that's made in the past, and they use that for their current litigation. And so this is what Jesus did then. It was permissible in the past. So it was okay for them to eat the showbread. But also I like the fact that this represents Jesus coming to the aid of the disciples. And this is good for us. If we walk with the Lord and we are obedient to the Lord will be our defense. In Psalm 62, it says this, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I will not be moved. So as long as we are walking with the Lord, we're in a good place. We are in a safe place. And regardless of how much good you do, there are always people like the Pharisees that are going to be around looking over your shoulder, pointing the finger. And so I say to you, don't let it put you off from doing good. Don't let it put you off from walking a righteous walk before God. So no sooner had they come out of the fields picking the corn than the Pharisees made the accusation. That is the passage that we read. Jesus went into the synagogue. And guess what? The same Pharisees were there. And they weren't content with just pointing the finger at the Pharisees. But now they're pointing the finger at their leader. At, well, they didn't know this, but at their Messiah, the Son of God. They're pointing the finger. And they're saying to him, ready to catch him out, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? They said this in verse 10. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day that they may accuse him? What is astonishing to me that when he made this accusation, I don't know how you would feel if you were put on the spot about doing something good, say, are you going to do what I think you're going to do? And even though that you know in your heart that it's right to do, would you then still do it when you've got eyes set upon you and you know they're ready to accuse you? Or would you feel uncomfortable? And you would start to back off and maybe, well, maybe not now. Maybe I'll save that for later. Or maybe I won't do it now. Maybe I won't say such and such a thing now. But the encouragement here, or at least something that we should be aiming for, is that Jesus was having none of it. He said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched out his hand and Jesus healed him. Now I think for most people, this is what astonishes me. For most people, regardless of your position, I'm assuming, whether you're a godly person or not, but if you see someone's hand that's withered being healed in front of you, are you not likely to say, Oh, all right then. That was pretty good. I changed my mind, and I was going to accuse you of being bad, but come on, that was good. But no, that didn't happen. Mind-bogglingly, if that's a word. They went away plotting how they might then go and kill Jesus for doing good on the Sabbath. Let Jesus be our example, that do not let anyone discourage you from walking before the Lord as you should. Whether it be doing good, helping people, whatever things that you say, say it with all confidence and truth, because God is with you. And to top it all, in our passage, so not only had Jesus rebuked them with scripture, that he healed before him, even when they were saying, you know, we're ready to give you some trouble. This is what he said to them in verse 6. And this must have just blew their mind, the Pharisees. Yet I say to you, Jesus says to the Pharisees, there is one that is greater, there is one here in this place that's greater than the temple. Referring back to the show when David went to get the showbread. One greater than the temple. God's house. He was calling, he was saying himself that he was greater than the house. Now, have you heard people, particularly non-Christians, or people that are kind of arguing against Christianity, have you ever heard them say, well, do you know what? Jesus, even Jesus, never declared himself to be the Son of God. Have you ever heard that argument? It is a common one. But he says there is one here that is greater than the temple. Then he goes on to say, but if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. So Jesus is saying that the disciples, what they did was not breaking the law. Jesus came to their defense. And this is the biggest statement of all in our passage this morning. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Jesus here was saying that he is greater than the Sabbath. That he is greater than the commandment that was given in the Old Testament. And there's only one way that that can be true. That he was the one that was there in the beginning with God. That he is God. He's not just a mere man, but he is the Son of God. So he was saying that he was Lord even over the Sabbath. So keep in mind the behavior of the Pharisees and what the purpose of the Sabbath day is, and we read that earlier on. I want to now just read to you a passage that's in Mark, because it will show that all these rules and regulations that the Pharisees have added over time onto what you should and should not do on the Sabbath day. Jesus, this is a parallel passage in Mark, in chapter 2, he says this, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. God made the Sabbath for us, for our benefit. The Sabbath day is a day of rest, a day to honor the Lord. And this is the commandment, this is the fourth commandment. From Exodus chapter 20, it says this, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall honor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, or your stranger who is within the gates. And this is important. For in 6 days, connecting to what we've just read, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he blessed it. Now I don't know if you've given this any thought, but we know that God created everything in 6 days, and on the seventh he rested. Now, have you ever wondered, do you know, could God have made the heavens and the earth quicker than 6 days? Possibly. He could have done it in an instant. I think what we often forget, however, is that God is eternal, and he had eternity before day one of creation to come up with all of his plans. All the minute things, even to the smallest bits of DNA. God had all that eternity to think about, to come up with his plan, to how everything would work, from everything in space to everything on the earth, how he'd create life, how that life would operate. And even when he gave the commandment to Adam and Eve that of any fruit of the tree you can eat, but the fruit that is on the tree in the middle of the garden you shall not eat, for on the day of it you shall surely die. God knew who was going to give that commandment, and God had eternity to come up with the plan that should they eat of the tree, and God had a plan to bring us out, and that plan was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, his son, on the cross. Now, I don't know if you have heard of, but you probably all have heard of a preacher named Charles Spurgeon. But have you read or heard of, he's got this devotional called Evening and Morning, or Morning and Evening, sorry. Well, I was reading recently, and I can tell you exactly the date, because I've written it down, August 15, in the morning. This is the passage that Spurgeon was talking from. And the one verse that he was quoting, talking about, was Genesis 24, and it says this: Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. That's it. That's what he had to go on. And this is just a portion I want to read, because it fits nicely in with our discussion on the Sabbath. Very admirable was the choice of place. In the field, we have a study hung round with texts for thought. From the cedar to the hyssop, from the soaring eagle down to the chirping grasshopper, from the blue expanse of heaven to a drop of dew. All things are full of teaching, and when the eye is divinely opened, that teaching flashes upon the mind far more vividly than from 1,000 books. Our little rooms are neither so healthy, so suggestive, so agreeable, as so inspiring as the fields. Let us count nothing uncommon or unclean, but feel that all created things point to their Maker. All created things point to their Maker, and the field will at once be hollowed. So I ask you, when it comes to a day of rest, are you someone that can actually stop for 1 minute? Are you someone that can just relax for a day? Are you someone that maybe you're on the go all the time and you find it hard to stop? But maybe if someone said to you, just stop. Just stop what you're doing. And you are, okay, I'll stop what I'm doing. But then would your mind start go racing to things that you're going to be doing next week? Or things that are troubling you? Are you able to stop physically? And are you able to stop in your mind? Are you able to have that day of rest that God has given each and every one of us? A day that God has made holy. So I say to you, next time you're out in the field, whether it just be in the park or even in your garden, especially on a day as it is this morning, look up. Stop what you're doing. Look up. Look to the sky. Take in a deep breath and be at peace. And just remember that God is the creator of all things. God is the creator of the sky, is the creator of the trees, is the creator of you and me. And he gave us life. There is another rest. Now, I can't finish without mentioning this other rest. And it's a rest that you'll find in Hebrews chapter 4. And Bible students will probably, no doubt, already know where I'm going to go with this. You see, there was a rest that was mentioned back in the old days, even as far back as Exodus, where God said that they did not enter my rest because of unbelief. And then the Apostle Paul says, that there remains therefore a day of rest. Don't be slow to enter into it. Grab hold of it. And how do we enter into that rest? It's by faith. It's by grabbing hold of it by faith. See, God gave us a physical rest through the Sabbath day, but Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, this rest that we're talking about is an eternal rest for the soul. An eternal, a forever rest. He asks us to enter into his own rest. So, as we come to a conclusion, let me just remind you that God in the beginning created the heavens and the earth. He did it in 6 days as an example. He wasn't tired after the sixth day, but he gave it as an example. So every Sabbath day when he rested, we remember, or at least we should remember, the Sabbath day belongs to the Lord. It's a day for rest. And we should remember that God is our creator because he's linked it to his creation. And remember that God is the creator of all things. But in these passages that I've read, Matthew and in Exodus, at no time do we read that God has disannulled the Sabbath commandment. No time will you read in the scriptures that God has disannulled the Sabbath rest. In fact, on the contrary, in Colossians chapter 2, it says that the Sabbath is a foreshadowing of the things that is to come. So we have that physical rest and we have that eternal rest. Then we should remember that God is the creator. We might rest on a different day, on a Sunday, but we do have a physical rest from God. And I hope that we would all embrace that in whatever way that we can. And maybe be by following Spurgeon's example when he was talking about Isaac, about just going out, so set a day aside to go out into a space, into a field, just to stop and look around and appreciate God's creation and give him thanks. So we have the physical rest, but we also have that spiritual rest that we don't have time to go into, mentioned in Hebrews chapter 4. So therefore, let us rest before him, both now and forevermore. And I'm going to pray as we close. Heavenly Father, we know from what we have read this morning that rest is important to you. That when you created all things, you set one day aside and you hallowed it. You gave it for man, that he may rest from his works and that we may honor you. And Lord, even though technically speaking the Sabbath day is the last day of the week and it is a Saturday, Lord, today in this place we have set this day as holy, Lord, to honor you, to give you praise, to give you glory, Lord, because you created all things. Lord, and I thank you for that rest. That rest is so important to us. Lord, I'm sure that even in the days when they were building the pyramids in Egypt, Lord, they had a day of rest, because we all need rest. No matter how physical, how hard our labor is, the other 6 days, Lord, we need that day to rest. Lord, and I pray that you would help each one of us, not just to appreciate that day that you have given us, Lord, but when we do stop and when we do look around, Lord, we give you thanks because you have linked it to your creation. May we always remember that you are our creator. You gave us life and you created all things. And what's more, Lord, that Jesus Christ himself is the Lord of the Sabbath. And he lives forevermore. And therefore we have a Sabbath rest in him. both now and forevermore. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Kuna?
Thank you so much, Brian. I keep getting this idea again that, you know, God is such an artist that he, apart from creating us, obviously he created the whole world. He is such an artist, as Brian highlighted, that, you know, all the things that God has made have been for our benefit, but God is an artist, and he thinks his greatest creation is us, and we should have a rest. And so you'll find in your sermon notes that Nathan is having our rest. Our minister is on rest until the 12th of September. He's on his rest. He'll be wedding on Tuesday, and then they're having a short time of rest before he comes back. But the church office is open, as always. If anybody doesn't have one of these sermon notes and needs it for the dates and other information, please come and grab mine, because I've obviously got a spare one here. Thinking of rest and everything else, the next song that we're going to sing, which is our last song, you can all sit down and concentrate. I'm still in a very upbeat mood because Holiday Club is finished. Whew! That's been really good. So there are a lot of people resting from that. And also, you know, school holidays is coming up and people are buying their uniforms and getting ready for that. The Wednesday is coming up. So I'm still in a very, very upbeat mood. So we're going to do this song with a little bit of fun intended in it, okay? So we're going to sing Rejoice in the Lord Always, and again I say rejoice, and we're going to split the church into two. So right from the top, this side is one side, and this side is the second side. So that side is going to be working with Agnes and Danny, and you're going to be singing it in a round. So you will start off. And then we will come and pick it up, and I will show you. It's just for fun. But it's a nice way to end the service today, I think. And as I say, sit down, concentrate on what you're doing and when you're coming in. The first time around, we're going to sing it all together, so we make sure everybody knows all the words. And then we're going to split it up, and we're going to have this side singing it first. And once they get to a certain part, then I'm going to show you guys when you come in. So, excellent. All ready? Let's go. So all together the first time round.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always.
Thank God. Thank you all very, very much, and thank you for coming. It's been a wonderful service, and your presence has really made a difference. And I just want to leave you with something that I saw in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17. It says, and I haven't found it, and I haven't clued the guys up at the back, so they don't know to find it. It says, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invincible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. May you go with that, knowing that the invincible God is with you. And may God bless you this week and always. Amen. Amen. Okay, right. Singing Salvation. Salvation. Teas and coffees. Don't go running off.